Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hello and welcome to Front Office Features. I am Rob Crane here with Chris Valente. Chris, hello, my friend.
Happy New Year, Rob.
Happy New Year. How was your New Year? Did you do anything? What did you do? We haven't recorded a podcast in like 2 weeks.
We have not. My parents came up from New Jersey for a week. They took the test, quarantined, came up.
We did the same thing.
Saw the kids. You know, it was weird. It was like FSM closes down for 2 weeks, but it didn't feel like a break because I was still in the place I was at every day.
Yeah, right.
Work. I just didn't sit down on my computer on Zoom all day. And then going back to work on Monday was odd. I was like, hey, I'm just going to go back downstairs now.
I'm going to just go to the basement.
Yeah, no, it was a bizarre break. It was good not to be on Zoom. My back felt much better for not sitting in a chair all day, every day.
Foam roller, man. Foam roller.
I got one. It's right there. I do it regularly. But it was good. It was good. It's and then I feel like more so than typical, people fired back up pretty. I had a pretty busy week. Pretty responsive week too. So that was positive. But 2021.
2021, here we are. Yes. Same. That my was able to see my parents and two of the three of my sisters, and we all took a test. Did you do the rapid test or the one they like shove up your nose?
So my test, so I didn't, the CVS where you go through the drive through, you do it yourself, swab, drop it in, and then they put your results up on your file like a couple days later. So you do it yourself in CVS, you drive through.
Got it. They went to the we went to McCoy Stadium, the state tests, and they jammed it up to your brain to make sure that make you tear up. But it was fine. Right. Although it was fine because it was a negative result, but we all did the test and we saw Amy's family, saw my family, so it was really good.
How was Christmas? How was Maddie with Christmas?
It was fine. Right. She was great. She was the first time that I think Santa kind of was, the biggest so far.
Yep.
But like I had my parents on Zoom. I had like the iPad out, and like.
I'm sweeping
across.
It took us, I don't know, 9 hours to open all the presents because they hit. They're like, oh yeah, I'm good, I'm done. Like you're like, okay.
There wasn't a ton underneath a tree, right? So like, because usually like my family's over and like so it's presents for everybody. It was like, yeah, there's a good amount of stuff here for Maddie, and then Nolan is.
Yeah, he has no. Four months.
Yeah, he has no idea, right? So it's like, why get him anything? Did I tell you what I got Amy, or what Amy and I got each other?
No.
We needed a TV upgrade, so we bought a new TV.
Oh, hey. There you go. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So we didn't even exchange gifts. We just did the TV.
So you saw my Christmas issue.
Remind me of the Christmas issue.
We had a lasagna.
Oh, the lasagna thing. Yeah. So what happened? You just, like, missed?
No. Rachel took it out of the oven, and it snapped. The handles, the ceramic handles, snapped.
So she's like holding it this, and the thing snapped and it fell on the ground.
And it hit the granite. It burned her arm. She had two burns on both her arms.
Oh my God.
it hits the ground, hits the tile. It literally explodes.
Oh my God.
All over the ceiling, under the cabinets. It was like a murder. And like her dad was, who was over for Christmas, was very disappointed. <'Cause> he was looking forward to that lasagna. I almost grabbed a fork, but
yeah, why not? If it didn't, like, 5 second rule.
So I had to use a snow shovel.
I guess you can't eat off of a snow shovel.
No. So we scooped it off with a snow shovel, and luckily she typically makes enough food for 45 people, even though we only had six.
Yeah.
So there was still plenty. We had a ham and her gluten free lasagna, but the real lasagna. She was more upset because of how much time she spent making it. Because lasagna takes forever to make, right?
Yeah, right.
For Christmas Eve, I stole a book out of your playbook from you.
Oh, which is?
I went and got some. So it was just her and I for Christmas Eve. Yeah. It was just Rachel and I. We did Serpent Turf.
Oh, I loved it. Love it. Good for you. We did. Amy and I did the same thing. We did Meatless Christmas Eve.
We did. Well, we did Serpent. We did steak and lobster tails.
Yeah, I got a couple of lobsters, or one lobster, I don't know, for Christmas Eve, and I don't know, we scallops, I think we had scallops.
So, almost ruined, I go to fire up the grill, it won't turn on. I'm like, I know I have propane. Like, this propane tank I got at the end of the summer, it should be
blow
fired
up.
Not working. I'm like, oh, God, no. Like, so this is like 9 o'clock now, like, we still haven't even eaten, because we were out, and we have put the kids to bed. Like, what are we going to do? Like, I have to cook the steaks inside, the lobsters, whatever. I'm like, I just remembered I had another propane tank under my fire table. Went and got that. I was like, let's give it a shot. Luckily, it kicked on. Otherwise, Christmas Eve, we would have had these two really nice steaks and lobster tails just sitting there. Or I had to cook them
inside
in the oven, which
never is good. Never is good.
Not ideal. But Christmas is over.
Christmas is over. New Year's is over. The world is in 2021. I don't think I've ever seen in my life people posting and such. It was like, I can't wait for 2021, 2021, get 2020 out of here, 2021, 2021. I think we want to talk on this podcast. All right, it's 2021. Now what?
Now what?
Now what? It's like, how do you turn the page? How do you kind of re-engage, I guess? I don't know if it's re-engage, but like, we kind of get your proverbial shit together, right?
Well, it's weird because, like you mentioned, everyone was just itching for that change of the calendar, that gotta get rid of 2020. And like you said, now 2021's here. What does that mean? What does that really mean for you? Like, what are you going to do with it? We're not going to talk about resolutions.
No, resolutions suck. Here's why I think they suck. Is there all this, like, I'm going to do this in the future, but with no concrete, like, goals and objectives to it, right? So if you're going to set a resolution, you're really going to set concrete goals that to get to wherever you're trying to go, right? Like, if your resolution is to get a job in 2021, great. But you've got to set the goals. What are the goals? How are you going to accomplish that goal? If not, you just have this thing. I want to be a freaking millionaire in 2021, but that's the same as you saying, I want to get a job. That's my resolution. I have no plans to be a millionaire, right? You've got to go put the time, effort, energy, the work in behind. See what I'm saying?
No, the resolutions, that's why people like who start weight loss programs January 1st, they don't work.
Yeah, gyms love January, right?
They do. Not this year.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, no, look, everyone for 2020, for the most part, specifically in our industry, went through some tough times, no doubt about it. We've learned a lot about ourselves. We did self-evaluations. We figured out what we like, what we don't like. You dealt with adversity. You learned a lot about yourself, right?
So yeah, you did. So, but I don't want to poo-poo, if you will, resolutions. But
we're just going to call it something different. We're not going to call it a resolution.
We're not going to call it a resolution. So what do you want to call it? I mean, you gotta have. So if you're gonna have your goals, I guess
I think a plan of attack. Let's have a plan of attack for 2021.
Right. All right. So if you're gonna have a plan of attack, I think you've got to set lofty goals. Right. Your plan of attack. You're gonna set a lofty goal. I want to do something big in 2021. right? Some self-reflection. I think over the holiday, I mean, you and I talked for an hour pre-podcast about some self-reflection stuff, right? So there's some self-reflection that you've got to do, but then I think the next step is, okay, if getting an internship is the internship of you, is my goal for this year, or moving up from my entry-level job to the kind of next-level job, perfect, right? Agree with you. Let's do it, okay? Let's do it. What I would do is take out my little pen that I've got right here, and then I'm starting to write down a flow chart of, like, that's the goal. Now work backwards from there. How am I going to go do that? Say I'm in, let's just give an example of, like, all right, I want to go on to the brand side, and I want to be there. I'm with a team, or I want to, or pick something else, right? I want to go work for a core four team. How are you going to do that? What steps are you going to take to do that, right? Like, okay, I'm in college. What alumni work in those things, work in those areas in that I want to work in? I want to write them down, right? And then who am I going to go talk to? And I'm going to go reach out to them. And then when I get that reach out and I get that when I get to have that informational interview, what am I going to ask, right? So now you've taken your lofty goal, you start breaking it down in bite-sized chunks, right?
I just think if you weren't able to come out of the past 8 months with just some clarity and just a different attitude on how you're going to approach this, like, let's just call it what it is. Like, 2021, just take the bull by the horns and go for it. Like, look what could happen in the blink of an eye. Like, don't sit around thinking, pondering, just go for it, right? Like make it happen. How are you going to make what you want come to fruition? Your dream is to work in sports. Your dream is to be XYZ title. Go do it. Like, there's nothing stopping you other than yourself. Like, there's really not. Like, and so many things can change at the blink of an eye. To sit around worrying about the what ifs. Did you ever think about when you entered 2020, right before that, when you and I were doing this, that we're like, hey, a pandemic is going to shut down my industry? No, you can't plan for stuff like that. People consistently, every time we have these information interviews, we talk to them, they're always like, well, what if? What if I go there and I don't like the job? It's like, if you don't like the job, then you just get a new one. You change it. Like, stop playing the what if game. Stop holding yourself back and really answer the question. And we talk about this, like, the why. Answer, why are you doing this? Why are you going to move for this specific industry? You better have a damn good answer, not just for yourself, but when someone asks you that question in an interview, and it should flow off your tongue so easily, because you should have that answer so buttoned up. We'll talk about it a little bit. I had an informational interview today, and we dove into that, the why. Tell me why you want to work in sports. And once I challenged him to go deeper, it was amazing the answer he eventually gave me. I was like, that's your answer. So that is why you want to work in sports.
Now you got me curious. Talk about your informational interview.
So a good listener, Jesse, reached out a while ago. He's talked to a couple of our colleagues. Wanted to discuss corporate partnerships. Goal is to work in corporate partnerships. Again, I asked the question because I challenge everybody now. Why?
Why?
Why do you want to work in corporate partnerships? Got through all that. And then I said, look, you can work in corporate partnerships in any industry, right? You can go sell stuff. You can do brand partnerships, not necessarily in sports. Why do you want to work in sports? And he initially went to, like, you know, brand experiences and making those things happen for a brand in sports. I was like, okay, that's not the reason you want to work in sports. I was like, there's no way that is the reason you want to do what we do every day, wake up every morning, sacrifice what we do, work nights, weekends, to be able to create brand experiences for other. Like, that's not the reason. And we eventually got to his answer of the memory he has from something that did back with, he's a Red Sox fan, went to picnic in the park with his dad when he was a kid, had catch with his dad on Fenway. He got to be an intern for an organization a while ago, and he was completely upset the day he had to leave that feeling that he had, he wanted to replicate for other people in this industry. I was like, and he said it so much more articulate than me, but because it was from him, it was his answer. I was like, would you tell someone that of your answer versus, like, I played sports, I was a high school baseball player, or I'm a Red Sox fan. You've shown that person you get it. And, like, that's what this industry is about, is making society better, making people's experiences in life better, forgetting the shit that we saw happen today for 8 hours on CNN by going to Fenway Park or Yankee Stadium and being part of a community where you just feel like you're 6 years old again. That's the special part of this business.
They, you know who I think, he's a magician with words, is Charles Steinberg. When I interviewed, I don't know if it was in the interview or if this is just things that he talks about at work, he calls it the baton and the wand. The baton being like, we're going to all work through this together and, you know, let's lead. And let's work together for a common goal. The wand being the magic that sports brings, taking somebody out onto the field, having a catch, taking the corporate partner, you know, whether it's kid or taking one of their initiatives and making it so much larger, right? And that's the wand that sports has, that the memories that are created, the feelings that are created, can't be replicated if you're selling, I don't know, TV ads, right? Like, it just doesn't work that way. And I always thought the baton and the wand was a good descriptor of that.
It's a good analogy, and that's the people on the outside who listen to this podcast who want to be on the inside. That's where you need to go deep inside yourself and answer that question first to yourself, not because you think it might be cool to work in sports. That's not a reason to go do something like, oh, it might be cool. No, tell me why you want this and tell yourself first. Like, that's going to make you sound so much more authentic when you answer that question, because you always, no matter who it is or what inner job it is, someone always asks you that question, right? Yeah. Why do you want this job? Why do you want to work for XYZ? And if you come back with a canned answer, you just go into that pile of, eh. If you come back with an authentic, true answer that people can believe because you believe it.
Yeah, right.
That changes the whole entire perception of you as a candidate.
Yeah, no matter what, authenticity matters. But I think you've got to sit and think with the why, right? Like, why are we doing this? And I think 2021 is the way to answer the why, right? Because we've overcome some adversity. We're, you know, I guess you can see the light at the end of the tunnel of overcoming the adversity. And now it's time to put your why into reality and trying to get those, get that position, get that opportunity to put your why at work. Why put your why to work?
Hey, there's another T-shirt. So,
speaking of T-shirt, look at this new gear. Look at this new gear.
I don't have any. Well, I haven't got any
Red Sox
swag.
Hoodie gear.
Yeah, I've got no swag.
Nike. This is good stuff.
It is good stuff. I have no swag. I have no.
And the
Red
people
Sox
listening
swag
on the podcast have no idea what I'm talking about.
They'll see it now, because now we have... Oh, we should actually talk about that. We do have some help on our social media. Welcome to the Front Office Features family, Alina Nunez.
Yes.
San Diego State, Alina Nunez.
Our great partners at San Diego State. We've worked closely with them, and Alina is making our social media, bringing it to the 21st century.
Sorry, Michael. Sorry, Michael.
Sorry, Mike. Mike, you were great, right? Put down to Michael Scott.
You're fired. You're fired.
But Alina is just starting, and she's going to be helping us with the social side of this and the digital marketing side of this. And I'm pumped for it. It's going to be mutually beneficial.
We've already seen a vast improvement in terms of the quality of graphics and engagement things that she's put out there that you and I tried to do. We can't do. So, yes, very happy to have Alina on board for... Well, here's the thing. You and I set out and said, 2021, we need to work on Front Office Features Social.
Right.
We looked in the mirror and said, you and I, one, don't have the time to do it. Two, don't have the capabilities of doing it. We can admit when we don't have a skill set. We went and found someone who does. We didn't just talk about it. We did it.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, I feel like you've done this a lot. You probably have a lot of informational interviews with people who are, they tell you a great story or they say all the right things, but they don't actually act upon it. And why is that? So do you not really want it? And like, if you're listening to this podcast, you clearly have an affinity for this industry in some capacity. What is it that gives you the initiative to listen to you and I talk about this for now over a year and a half, still coming back, listening to us talk? You're chasing what dream? why are you not just going and making it happen? And I know that sounds easier, like, oh, well, of course I take
a job.
Oh,
fine,
right
let
now.
Me just get a job. Thanks, Jack. Of course, yes.
Like, yes, I understand it's a pandemic. And I understand our industry still got like a little bit tumultuous couple months ahead of it. But now that we have that light that you just mentioned, you should be doing everything within your power to separate yourself from that pack and not be that lottery ticket.
Amen. Amen. I think now's the time. And I think that also swings into my into the next thing I really want to talk about. I feel like those Worcester Red Sox jobs that we're hiring for is a perfect real-life case study of what we talk about. Because I'm seeing it each day. So
I mean, it's playing out in real time because you have a case study that's hard to find right now, which is a job opportunity that people are specifically
right.
applying.
So we have a corporate partnership services job, 300 people applied.
That's how many would you typically get, Pawtucket? Like how much would you typically get in a normal non-pandemic minor league baseball team? 50, 75?
Yeah, I call 80 to 100. But I'll say this, the candidate pool's way deeper. Like it is legit.
No, I'm saying now, yeah.
Now it's crazy. Before it was like, maybe I can turn them into something. And then the ticket sales team, we've got 200 people for that. And that's always the hardest one is like, you know, it's not an easy position to fill. And they got 200 people for that. And I'm seeing it play out here. Can I tell you something that bugs me?
Oh, yeah.
That bugs
Let's
me.
Let's go. Bugs Rob. Let's bug Rob.
Let's bug me. Dear Rob, I wanted to get an update on my application status. Thanks, person.
Have they interviewed or they just
No,
applied?
They just like that's their creative follow-up email. Like we say like, "Hey, follow up with the person." I don't care about your application status. Tell me why you're better than the 299 other people.
Yes.
Right? Like application status, who gives a shit? Tell me about
it's in the pile with the other 200 people. There's your status.
Right. Tell me, be the guy with a T-chart, right? Like, I don't have this experience, but boom, I'm going to put a T-chart together and say, you want this? I've got this. You want this? I got this, right? This is the separate yourself side of it. And there's been some people who have been very good. And we were answering questions on Instagram, right? We did, thanks to Alina, we were answering questions on Instagram. And one of the questions was, hey, I applied for a job. What's my follow-up email? I've gotten a few follow-up emails. I don't really care about them. Maybe I'm cold-blooded. I don't really care about them. What would make better sense, to me at least, is have one of your references, if you will, reach out to me and say, yes. I've got
100%.
This person applied for your job, and I'm the vice president, director of sales. I'm the director of corporate partnerships. I'm their internship coordinator. I don't know. But if that person says, hey, go check that out personally, and I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent. Personally, I will go do that. If the applicant sends me a note, I'm going to go without anything like, hey, I'm really excited to work for the Worcester Red Sox, or hey, it's you know, kind of normal, then I'm like, eh.
So the question I always get about that, to what you just mentioned with the reference, is it does it have to be someone, like, if you called me and said, can you write a reference for me to so-and-so, let's call it Jake. If I don't know Jake, should that person still reach out? And the answer is 1,000% yes.
Yeah, right. I agree.
Like, it doesn't matter if that person knows the other person or not. If you can get someone to, on your behalf to send a note for you, if you wait for your references to be used at the end of your process as reference checks, you're not using your references right.
Right. The reference check is one of the most ridiculous things of all time.
Oh,
right. It's like the references
of
like,
you?
Okay, you have six references. Let me call them. Hey, person, what do you think? What are they going to do? Tell me that you suck? Of course not. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's not how so like references. If they really cared about you, they'd be getting you on the front end, not the back end. The back end's
references
stupid.
Available upon request. Too late.
Too late. Like I don't.
Too late.
So, I said on the Instagram, I did a little live thing. Not the live thing. I don't know. You press the button and it works. This is why we have a social media
you
person.
You sound sophisticated. You press the button and it works.
But that's what happened. I pressed the button and it worked. That's what I just think that it's the time where you say, all right, reference, all right, somebody, if you say this person's really good and for these reasons, right? They generated X amount of revenue. They were the friendliest person that I've ever worked with. They were the provided the best customer service. They are the hardest worker, and here's six reasons why. They did these different projects. Way more impactful than you saying,
totally.
Look at the projects that I did.
Totally.
Right, because there's a million people that did projects, but if you have someone say that for you, for me, it just speaks louder.
Well, because, yeah, and you're mentally in your mind, when you get that email, you're like, this person went out of their way to do this for this person.
Yeah,
so
they
must really
care.
Right. No, and that if you... Everyone listening, if you're waiting to use your references till the end, you're not using your references the right way.
Right.
Because
references upon request, I'm not going to request you.
Even if they're listed, I'm never calling that person from your resume before I ever, like, how many people have you ever called that was listed on a resume for a reference? Just
so one of the things that happened to me, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you. There was a person way back in one of my offices. I don't want to, and
don't say it.
I don't want to re-record this. But they were applying for a job, right? And they would list a reference. I was one of the references.
They didn't tell you.
And they did no, but they told me it was fine. It was doing this whole thing. You know what the prospective employer did? Called one of the looked up the people online. Called one of their colleagues out of the blue. And was like, "Hey, what did you think about this person?" They got
That's
the real
right.
answer from there.
That's not right, though.
But they got the real answer from them.
I know, but I don't think you should do that.
Well, that's the team thing. I've never done that before, but I'm just what happened.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that. I feel like that's just That's kind of weird. But anyway, I've never seen a resume and said, "Here's my three references. I'm going to call them before any other reason I've ever talked to this person." I even told someone
thing,
who works for me.
Go ahead.
Do not go through your, because they're going through an interview process right now. Do not go through your interview process without me letting me send an email on your behalf to the person that you want me to send it to.
Right.
Do not wait till the end of the interview. Do not wait till your second interview. Don't wait till your third interview. Get in with your references immediately to put it in these people's minds. This is someone that's worth our time to invest in to keep talking to. What are you waiting for?
Yeah. I thoroughly agree. I think that you got to use your references. The whole network thing, right?
What good is it if you're going to use it at the very end? You've already gotten to the point without that person, right? Like that's
right.
You don't need them anymore.
Yeah. So the reference thing is interesting to me, and I'm starting to get the email follow ups of like, where's my application status? I mean, buddy, you're not applying
pending.
To be a line cook in the concession stand.
Pending. So let's talk about this job. Let's go deeper in this. So, what if other than the T-chart guy, what else have you seen that's gotten people to the front of the line? Without being obviously too specific, because you can't give away too many.
So what's gotten to the front of the line is definitely people who have reached out on behalf of someone. There was one person that had like four people reach out, and it was like, got it. I get it. This person is good, right? Well,
but it works.
You're in.
But it works.
100%. The person's in. The person is in.
Of course.
The person is in.
Right. And here's the other thing, guys and gals. The reference is never going to be able to get you the job.
You still got to go do it, right?
Right. Like, we can set you up, but it's your job to close it. Like, that's...
Agree.
There's... Unless the person is the owner's son or daughter or some crazy, ridiculous connection that... Very rarely do full-time roles... get hired because of someone tells someone to do this. They can get you in the door from an interview perspective, but they're not getting you the job. No matter how wonderful a recommendation I write you, you still have to go and close it.
Yeah. So that's what's brought people here. We're just starting first interviews. I'll be interested what happens in the second interviews.
Well, that's where people need to separate themselves again. Like this is, yeah. It's,
this is,
look, I get it because we were probably at that age when you, because most of these people, I'm assuming, are young 20s, right?
Most of them, yeah.
Yeah. you feel like you don't want to overstep your boundaries. Like you don't want to feel like too pushy and you don't know, like, and you don't want to do that either. But there's a fine line between squeaky wheel, right? Like kind of gets things done versus sitting back and just hoping for the best. If you sit back and hope for the best, ain't going to work. Not when there's 300 other applicants or 200 other applicants, you got no shot. Zero. 0.0 shot.
The other thing I have noticed too, there's been some people who have worked for us, right? I think I said this in the last one, that were really good. There's also some people who have worked for us that took it too casually. They would shoot the a text message, hey, you going to interview me? And it's like, whoa, brother.
Wait, what? No. They would just text you, are you going to interview me?
Yeah, right. Like, I want that job.
Or, oh, like you were a...
Oh, like we're, for, like we're, like, you job. Know, we used to work for, like, they were an intern.
Yeah, yeah.
Their
yeah,
internship yeah. ended. Now there's this full-time role that they're applying for and they
no,
want
no, no, no.
And they just, no, no, they no, text no. me, like, casually like that. And I get High Horse Rob comes out occasionally. And maybe this is another time where I get on my high horse and be like, no, this is not how we're going to do this, right? You're not going to text me, I want that job. I want $1 million.
Yeah, no, that's not the right approach.
No.
You can text someone and say, hey, I saw you posted XYZ. I'd love to talk to you more about that.
I'd love to learn more about the position.
That's okay.
To see if you think I'd be a good fit.
That's okay. I want that.
In all honesty, I will return that text or I will turn that call. Let's get on the phone and we'll talk about
yeah.
it. And the answer might be no.
Right.
The answer might be no. I had to tell one of our great interns of all time, one of the positions that he applied for, not fit for you.
That's okay. That's okay.
But we talked about it and he handled it in a professional way.
No, I mean, and that's going to be the situation for a lot of people. It's like sometimes you might be the best person, but it's just not the right role for you. And that's okay. Like, we're trying to do you a favor too, because you don't want to just take a job to take a job. It's not going to work for anybody.
Yeah, right. Right. You know what we got
to
do?
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
This reminds me of something. We got a new ad we got to read.
Ooh.
Right?
I'm
actually excited about this one. There's other ads that we've read that I absolutely hate, but I really like this one. Okay. I think we all know which ad that I can't stand.
Yeah,
it's
3.5 minutes long.
Well, no, it's
skip ahead 30 seconds. I keep hitting skip ahead, and it's like
it's Costanza's. It's Costanza's, right? We're all going to be latex salesmen. all right, I want to tell you a little about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, hopefully that's us, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. Chris, I think you and I should do this.
I think so.
And on top of that, we'll help
teach you how to hit record before you start the podcast.
We'll help you get your show pushed.
Hit record.
Item one, hit record. Item two, get a microphone. We'll help you get your show pushed out on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all the other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for just $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you for their initial setup. So, whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited. So, get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in our episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join. Isn't that a cool program?
It's really cool. I mean, Kevin Jones.
Did he talk a little bit about this when we interviewed him?
He did. Yeah. And then, like, they've seen that there's a lot of people out there looking to do this. So why not set up a system to help people out? It's affordable and you get to learn. And we talk about, like, doing a podcast, even though we make it look easy because we're a bunch of adults sometimes, but it's not that easy. And it's a time commitment, and you need to put a lot of effort into it from a time perspective, I would say.
For me, it's not so much the time, like here tonight, like that time's fine.
Not this time.
Recording the podcast is the easy part. It's the social media stuff. It's what are we going to post? What are we going to do? The graphics, the videos, all that kind of stuff is way harder than I thought. And I also think, too, the time, you know, us getting interview guests, also.
That's tough. Yeah.
Time is like, you know, I told you today, I had my first thing was 9 o'clock in the morning, Nolan's 4-month checkup appointment, to 5 o'clock today was literally every single minute was chock full of a meeting or a Zoom or something like that.
I mean,
lunacy.
It's, and we're not even back to where we have games.
Right.
So, like, finding and coordinating time with the guests to record the podcast, let alone reaching out to them and asking them.
And then, you know, now schedule it. good point. So anyway, coming out of this, one thing that I wanted to bring up with you that we haven't talked about offline, maybe we should before talking about it online, but who cares? We'll see.
I was just posting on Instagram for us.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I figured it out. Before we get into that, you guys were literally sending text messages, you and Alina, on this text chain.
Yeah.
About we're getting these questions and response. I'm clicking. What are you talking about? I don't see a message, a question. Oh, we just got a good answer. I'm like, what are you? And Rob's like, oh, I'm answering these. I'm like,
I was pressing the button and it worked.
But what? I was like, I can't find it. I had no idea where it was. I'm like, Rachel, what are they talking about? And I gave up after. I was like, all right, Rob's doing it, so we're fine. But anyway.
Anyways, sorry. One of the things I think on our podcast we should do is brainstorming here with you. We're going to have a live brainstorm. I think we should have a sports business feature, some sort of sports business topic that has come up that we just talk about. Might not have anything to do about getting jobs or, you know, how to, you know, phrase your cover letter. But I do think I've gotten some feedback about, like, I'd like to hear your take on what's going on in the sports business world. And it might be, you know, one thing one week, the whole episode might be just reacting to the sports business, right? So.
We used to do that a lot.
Yeah, and I think we should have not a segment, if you will, or a bit. But I do
kind of give a behind the scenes of probably how it, without maybe sometimes even knowing, like our take on how it either came to fruition or
right. I think that would be good, and I think too, I wanted to get your take on this because I think you have the most intimate knowledge of this. Is NHL with their schedule, but also the AHL side of this, right? Is
yep.
The AHL, you could opt in, opt out, you could play, you couldn't play. what do you, you want to kind of give everyone, level set everybody about like what happened in the NHL and what happened in the AHL?
So the NHL has a much different issue than the NBA. One being that they have way more Canadian teams and you can't cross the border. So they have six Canadian teams who have to play in a said quote unquote Canadian division for the foreseeable future. Well, I guess they'll cross that bridge in playoffs. Hopefully everyone's vaccinated by then.
You're right.
So they're kicking off their season January 13th, like a week from today, I think. 53 games, I believe, is what they're playing.
With like no off days. They're like cruising.
Because there is, but here's the crazy part. There is some teams, like my favorite, the Devils, haven't played since March.
That's crazy. They haven't played
since January. Like, they haven't played since March. So like they haven't played. Like they have been literally all, AHL shut down. Like, the AHL that we'll talk about too. So like a lot of teams who didn't make the playoffs, and almost everyone made the playoffs last year because they expanded it. But except the teams who didn't haven't played since March. So they're coming back.
It's like the NBA teams who didn't play in the bubble.
Exactly. Right. So, but they came back earlier, right? The NBA, when the NBA started, I blinked. I was like, wait, the NBA is playing regular season games? I had no idea. Also, big shout out to USA. They beat Canada last night in the World Juniors Championship 2-0. It was a matter of time before we became better than Canada than everything.
So we have some good Canadian listeners. So
we do. But hey, you know, my grandmother was Canadian. I can say those things.
Amy's Canadian.
Hey, my grandmother's from Toronto. I could say those things about my brother.
Hey.
They do have their bacon's problem. Canadian bacon, I don't know. anyways, so NHL is fired up. They're playing 52 or 53 games, whatever it is, starts next week. But the AHL, my former league as well, three teams opted out.
Right. Springfield is one of them, right?
Springfield, Charlotte, and Milwaukee. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. There's the rhyme or reasons why those three are the ones that did it. And then the Canadian teams are going to play up in Canada, same issue. But then a lot of the teams down here, like the Providence Bruins, are playing in Marlborough.
Like, right. Marlborough is 40 minutes from.
It's like ice hockey. It's a youth hockey ice rink that's got facilities that are for big tournaments.
Around, yeah, and that Marlborough one has what, 6 or 8 sheets of ice?
Yeah, it's gigantic.
Fun fact, I ice guarded there when I was in college.
Was that a fun fact or was that just a fact?
That was fun. Shut up. Anyway, it's that kind of rink.
So, the Devils are playing in Newark, down in their building. So there's no fans, right? So they're just. I think the NHL. I don't know what the deal is. I'm sure the NHL and the NHL it's different like the than the
taxi squad in the in baseball.
But the difference between the NHL and the MLB with the minor leagues is the majority now of NHL teams own their AHL franchises.
Right.
So from a financial perspective, the tickets really don't matter, quite frankly. It helps offset costs, but they need their prospects to play. Like there's no way around it. Like you need the people to play. So like they go play at quote unquote games, which will be closed scrimmages in essence, that's still going to get as much beneficial for them as these people who aren't playing. So the financial model for the AHL is very different than the minor league baseball, obviously even more so since all the changes you guys just went through. But it's unfortunate though, for the people who work in the business, right? We always talk about sports business. There's no tickets.
There's no sponsorships. There's
no revenue. There's all no costs. Staff. There's no staff. Like these people aren't keeping their jobs.
It's all cost.
It's travel. It's the COVID testing. It's all the protocols you need to put in place to keep the players safe. And they've minimized travel as much as they could. Like they shrunk the divisions. Everyone's just going to play each other 25 times. It seems like.
Right.
But they don't. The NHL's viewpoint is like we just want them to play. Like the league itself is kind of taking a back burner to this because they just need games. You're not going to look at the end of the season and be like, "There's a real champion." Because how could you?
I'd be wondering if those teams that that you just said how the opted out. I wonder if they were all
they're privately
owned teams.
They are. So that's a good deduction by you, Watson. So they are, those three are privately owned. Springfield, Charlotte, and Milwaukee.
So what are those guys going to do? Like, who's Springfield associated with?
I forget now. They changed. AHL changed.
I don't know.
So
Milwaukee,
much.
Is they a Blackhawks affiliate or something?
Chicago used to be Chicago's. Charlotte was fighting. They were fighting with the Panthers. I forget who they are for the way with.
So, but I guess just say that for argument's sake that
I don't know what the Panthers or whoever lost their affiliate is
like. What are their players?
Could be. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. I don't know that answer. I didn't look enough deep into it, but I know the president of Springfield pretty well. He, Nate Costa. So yeah. I haven't reached out to him to see what.
Let's get him on the podcast.
He's got nothing else to do. I'm sorry, Nate.
And they do a ton of Springfield College interns.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's got the pipe right there. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, but here's the upside for you listeners out there. The fact that these staffs just got rocked, similar to minor league baseball, 2021-2022 season is going to look a lot better. You knock on wood.
Can't look any worse.
There's going to be jobs. And positioning yourself to be ready for those jobs when they come up is what you should be focused on right now.
Yeah, I agree. I just find it interesting in these situations of like, you know, the P-Bruins, Province Bruins, they couldn't play in the Dunkin' Donuts Center where they play most of their games because Dunkin' Donuts Center is a field hospital.
Well, not even just that. Here's the other thing, like the cost to turn that building on.
Oh man,
it doesn't make sense. Like if you're not gonna have fans, like why would you pay to have that building operating? You just go play in it. Literally, they just need a sheet of ice. That's not gonna get their players.
Yeah,
20
they need a sheet of ice and a place to change.
Yeah, a good quality sheet of ice where they're not gonna be like they're playing in a rinky dink ice that's got bumps all over the place. So they're tripping over themselves, and the ice is good. That's all they need.
Gotta have good ice.
Gotta have good ice. There's an ice guru out there. What the hell is his name? Oh, I just blanked. He's like in charge of the ice of the NHL for all the winter games. Like,
oh really?
Oh yeah. It's like a thing.
I can imagine.
So when we moved to Albany, we were having some ice issues with the building. The building just wasn't up to par, and like we flew him in and was like, teach these people how to make good ice. It was like
really.
Oh yeah, the water and temperature needs to be like 125 degrees in the Zamboni. It has to like. There's all science. Science, right? It's physics. It's ice. So, like, there's a real thing with that. And then he's, like, the guy that makes sure the ice is good quality for all the outdoor games.
How did he become the ice guru?
He's probably Canadian, I'm assuming.
I played on ponds a lot when I was a kid.
What's that guy's why? Yeah, exactly. He figured it out.
Good for
him. What the hell is his name? Oh, it'll come to me, of course. My brain's not functioning yet for 2021. But... Yeah, so the NHL's back, NBA's back, college football quasi made it through a season. They have like 15 bowl games canceled.
I have to give it to the NFL. For the most part, they did a pretty good job.
Well, the Browns don't have a coach this weekend.
I know, go Steelers. That's Monday, Sunday night, 8:15 game.
My Giants will be sitting at home watching.
How pissed were you when they took out Jalen Hurts?
Oh, so here's the thing.
Apparently, like the Eagles players are like gonna.
They should.
They want to kill him.
They should be because look, the Giants. The Giants have no business being the play. They were 6-10. Like they can't be that mad. Even John Mara, the owner today, says like we can't be angry about it. We're 6-10. We don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
plain
right.
and simple. But you don't take out the quarter. Like they went for it on 4th and goal from the 4, and then they took out their quarterback for the 3rd string in the 4th quarter in a 3-point game. Like
what are you doing?
What are you doing?
You're in the business to win football games, whether you're 0-1, you know, it's like the Jets fans being pissed off that they won, right?
I get why the fans are pissed off, but the players don't care.
No, of course. Their job is to win, right? The coaches' jobs are to win.
They don't care about Trevor Lawrence.
No, you care about the 53 guys that you have there in the locker room, whether it's 53 guys playing a football team or 25 guys on a baseball team. They're in there to win, and for a head coach to be like, "Nope, that's not important."
His first two plays was a pick interception that he threw up 25 yards over the player's head, and the next play they got the ball back, and he fumbled the snap, so the Eagles players played hard. Like the game,
right.
Washington had to win
because they're
game.
Professionals. That's what they do.
Right.
Did you hear JJ Watt's thing?
Yeah,
it was like, "What are you going to do?" It's like, "I'm going to show up and be a professional and do all this." It's like. Yes, do that.
And that was bad. Not even as a Giants fan, because honestly, the Giants, they're 6-10. I can't be like, oh, this is, they screwed the Giants. It was just, It was bad. And everyone, and the people that I think what the people had the most problem with it was the NFL went through so much to get through the season, right? The issues, figuring it out. To end it like that on national television was just bad. But hey, playoffs start. We have more playoff games this year. Right. So that'll be something, three games each day, which gives us something to do on the weekend.
Who do you have in the Super Bowl?
Chiefs. The Chiefs will beat the Bills. The Bills just, they're probably a year away.
Oh, I got Packers Bills. I love the Steelers. Don't get me wrong. I'm rooting for the Steelers.
The Steelers got no shot. They got no shot. I don't know. They're going the wrong way. The momentum's going the wrong way for that team.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think they're going the
wrong
way.
They could also lose to the first round with the coachless Browns, and it wouldn't surprise me.
No, the Browns always find a way to Browns. Like, the Browns, this is the most Browns.
Steelers almost beat them with backups.
The Browns finally get in the playoffs, and their coach can't even be there. Right. So, like, just the Browns. And I'll go Chiefs-Packers.
Chiefs-Packers, I think, I don't know. There's always a surprise.
I would love to watch that.
Chiefs-Packers would be a great Super Bowl.
That'd be a good Super Bowl.
I hope the Bills make it. I hope those Bills fans are crazy.
I do. I'd be okay with the Bills. They're fun. I just think they're probably a year away. Like, they don't have experience, right? That matters. Like, you go up against Mahomes.
Seahawks would be a tough out, too.
Think about the Chiefs. The Chiefs went to the AFC Championship against Brady 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost won, didn't quite get there, learned how to win, went back next year.
Do you think that learn how to win is exactly it? Or do you think it was a perfect pass by Brady to Gronk over the shoulder that was there? I always think that learn how to win is crap.
No, I think in the playoffs, especially when you're young and Josh Allen's young, it's different. I think it matters. There's very few guys.
Roethlisberger went into the Super Bowl and won in 2005.
His defense won.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. He almost lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
in that
his defense won that game.
Hines and Ward's the only touchdown pass.
Yeah, exactly. And the Bills don't have that defense. They don't have that defense.
He caught the touchdown pass from I forget who the hell. Antoine Randall. He threw the touchdown pass to Hines Ward.
And not Big Ben, right? So, like, what did Big Ben really do? He just stayed out of the way.
Barely.
I'd say that the Bills are a year away.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, they could, like, they're good enough, but I don't. I think it's tough.
I don't think the Titans can do. I think it's either Bills or Chiefs. I can understand it. Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs went 15-1, so it's not like.
And they're the Super Bowl champs, and they have the best player in the NFL. So, like,
right, exactly.
They're tough to stop, and especially in Kansas City. All the games are in Kansas City, too. They have home field advantage. Not that there's any fans, but anyway.
Look at us being fans of sports, huh?
You know, so I will say this, though. I am rooting for the Washington football team.
Oh, because of Alex Smith?
No, nothing to do with Alex Smith.
Why?
Alex Smith might lose. Oh. Alex Smith literally doesn't have a shin. I fear for Alex Smith being on a football field, quite frankly.
Why are you rooting for the Washington football team?
Because I don't want Antonio Brown to win anything.
Oh, I can understand.
The fact that he's in the league is disgusting, and I just don't want him to
horrible,
win.
Horrible person.
Horrible human being. Horrible human being.
I
don't care about the Brady thing. Like, Brady wins 25, whatever.
I don't care.
I don't want Antonio Brown to win. Yeah. I don't want him to be a Super Bowl champion.
I can get behind that.
As a Steelers fan, I'm sure you can get behind
that. The Washington football team, they, if you go to our boy Dan Lust,
he is attacking.
You can learn some stuff, right? What is it? At Sports Law Lust, one of our great guests that we've had twice, and learn about what's going on. That could be a movie that I would not watch. If you said it was a documentary, I might watch it.
It would have to be a documentary. But yeah, no, it's crazy town. I'm not even going to get into it because it seems par for the course for that franchise, quite frankly.
That's why I don't want. I can't root for them.
But I'd prefer them over.
Though I love the Alex Smith
story. I don't want them to win the Super Bowl. I just don't want. I would be okay with them beating.
I like the Alex Smith story. I do. They should rename Comeback Player of the Year the Alex Smith Award.
No chance.
No, fine. But they still. I know. The Alex Smith thing where he almost died.
Literally. It's a great. That's why I fear for him being on a football field. Like. Is it safe? I don't know.
That's not my call. Somebody else.
He doesn't have a shin. He doesn't have a shin. He literally doesn't have a shin. So, like, if he gets a hit in the leg, you're like, ooh.
I don't know. But anyway, Well, it was good to
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Well, that May song. Remember that May song?
I do.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Speaking
welcome
of back. Dr. Dre.
Oh, tough. Right.
He's back home though. I thought.
Is he? I saw last I night so. That he had the.
He was in the
aneurysm.
Yeah, he got a brain aneurysm, and they robbed him while he was in the hospital.
Wait, what?
They broke into his house. They broke into his house while he was in the hospital. And then they caught the people, but they were robbing him while he was in the hospital.
Unbelievable!
Imagine freaking messing with Dre.
World right now, Dr. Dre, man.
Yeah, Dr.
By the way, Dr. Dre, his first album, The Chronic, had the marijuana yep. leaf on it, right? The black yep. one with the marijuana leaf, one of the great albums of all time.
Yep.
So it was like in seventh grade when that came out, probably seventh. Yeah, we were probably yeah. seventh, eighth grade,
yeah,
right when that came
yeah,
out.
Yeah, probably. Yep.
Parental advisory, all that good yep. stuff on it.
Is that when this, that's when that first started.
So what was the company that you could buy CDs for a penny?
Columbia Records.
Columbia Records. So I ordered that CD through Columbia Records.
And your mom saw it?
And then my mom's like, oh, let's see what CDs you got. And it's like Pearl Jam, Hootie and the Blowfish. And then it was like, what's this one with the marijuana leaf on it? I was like.
That would be the good doctor.
I was like, and she's like, nope, and just like threw it away.
And this is before the internet, so you can go download it anyway.
Nothing. It was like, CD. He's just, yep. you know, shocked. But anyway, yeah.
Do you like that one? Do you like that one or the new Chronic, the Chronic 2001 better?
Oh, no, the new one. The old one.
The old one?
Of course. I'm always going to root for the old one.
The new one was really good, though.
It was great. Dr. Dre's one of the greats of all time. Like, maybe the greatest.
The movie that you should watch.
Yeah.
Is Straight Outta Compton.
I could maybe. Yeah,
it's quasi-documentary. I'd call it that. It was way better than I ever anticipated. Let's put it that way.
Dr. Dre found Eminem and they came up together when no one thought Eminem was any good, right? Snoop, Jesus.
You gotta watch Straight Outta Compton.
No.
I feel like it's 2.5 hours.
I got a lot of time on my hands this weekend. We'll see.
All right. No, there's six football games on.
Oh, there's six football games. I don't have a lot of time on my hands this weekend. All right.
All righty.
Well,
on to 2022. Here we go.
We're 21.
No, we're on to 2022. We're moving.
You're already past it?
Yep. We'll see you next year.
All right. All right. I'll see you later.
Later.
Yeah, bye.